interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricket Tube Busting episode BTWRLM 453. As we're moving them along week by week. And so we're still here. Now we got chilly crickets. We got snow burdened crickets now. And the guy outside this morning, sleigh reindeer and a fat guy in a red suit, full of rime ice, wondering where he was. Hope your all holidays have been great. And we keep on moving. It's not over yet, folks. They want to keep us into this happy feel-good time, and we should have been stopping it before we got there. Today's watchwords may be the neo-racism, the differentialist apartheid. As we keep moving in through here and finding out certain things are going on that, I would have never thought it. All this time, growing up, how segregation was supposed to be so bad, and we're moving right back into that on a different problem. I've told you race, the word race, find a Doubleday Dictionary, 1974, I think it is. It doesn't use color as a definition. Your skin color is irrelevant. It has to do with classes of things. It has to do with groupings of things. So all you have to be put into the unfavorable class, and you will suffer some sort of discrimination. What's interesting is the law only recognizes a handful of the types of discrimination, like age and sex and things like that. And so when you start looking at the law the way, so-called law, the policies that they bring up now, you start to realize it's nothing to rely on in some regard. It's a limitation. And that started to be thinking, because that means we're in a prison. What do we do in a prison? Not being a prisoner up until 1 year, I didn't know anything about that. And when they made me one for a while, a few weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, I still didn't quite figure it out. There's just a certain mentality, I guess, innocent people just don't have, that comes naturally to people that are criminals. But I did learn a little bit. I was observant, and I started paying attention. I noticed one thing. Even prisoners have a way to communicate. It's not very much, but it's there, and they also have protections if you know what to do. And so that was very interesting to me to find out as I was going. Well, when I realized at that point that we all live in the pod, in that little room, in that cell, it was just whatever the handlers, the occupiers would allow to us, depending on how you behaved. Then I realized that we are living, again, proving that unless we understand how to show the system doesn't have the right, not by our opinion, but really written down, black and white, we were going to be in for a tough time. That was compounding, because I'm learning this after 9/11. And so there was, lessons that I'm being shown. In a way to keep up with that and to be able to put up with it, you have to find ways to deal with that in your mind about what's really going on, because it's kind of tough. Realize everything you've learned when you grew up was a lie. I say everything, but let's not get too far-fetched on that. There's not everything. There are certain real things that are there, but this illusion they call civil life is interesting. The heathen was just someone who was outlaw, outside the civil. Then we got this change where they brought religion into politics and made it something like a governance. And that's what we're dealing with today through what people may or may not understand is COVID-19. And then it's like its latest moronic anagram variant, Omicron. So this is just a continuation. So today, and this is what we're going to move in through. I finally found it. I've been listening for it, and people are listening, apparently, sending me information. You've been listening, too. I'm going to touch something I don't normally touch, because a lot of things you can't just, from my view, once you learn what you're looking at, what you're dealing with the criminals, these psychopaths, you have to be careful when you say something, because you can't tip your hat before, because they'll fix it. That amoeba, they'll move around any obstacle you present if they know it's there. Or you have to wait till they say it so that it's on record. Their black and white is in print, somewhere published. And so I finally found something that was said by one of them. Happens to be a bar member, no less. And I don't really look at all the backstory too much on all it, just that was said, and that this attorney, this bar member, knows what's going on. Interestingly, in the same state I'm helping on a lawsuit attempting to get the law, the truth, and the law forward. So we're going to touch that. I've told you this before. It's that your life is being run by reflexive law. It's not actually law. But the word reflexive is indicative of the path you'll take when you start tracking it down. I finally heard someone in the news talk about it. They referenced it. That's all I need to know, because now I know that what I've been waiting to see is actually known by the system and people. This one also is, this attorney is also running for an office. And so the future is pretty well told to us. All these people are pretty much the same. And so once you learn the language, you can start, you don't point them out. Oh, you're the one. No, you just recognize, because you're only a few people that are observing they live in real life. They live is the movie. You have the eyes to see. You realize that they are these aliens. They're alien to a way of life that we were promised when we were growing up, that was guaranteed to us, that we also didn't notice it was our responsibility to keep that republic. And that has slowly presented itself to what that actually means. Because there's lots of republics in the world. But this one in the United States of America, in a particular view where you're looking at obligations and duties of the limited government, not the extensions that you see today, they are the ones, that's where you go. The narrow path is you focus in on those obligations and duties, not because you think they're there, but because they're black and white and written. And why? Because those are objective. Those can't be denied for their existence because they're black and white. They may be denied by usurpers that don't want to see it because it would constrain their activity or require something of them. And that's what I've been asking you to jump in on. Jump in on the requirement that they'd be doing something in the black and white, that they failed, which is causing irreparable harms. Any harm would be sufficient, but we go to irreparable because that's how this game is sort of played. Again, there's immunities, and there's all these excuses that we're given that we think is law that's not actually written anywhere in black and white, that are, we can find out this adjunct policy consideration I've been telling you. It has its roots somewhere. It's identifiable. We sued it in 2013. The Bar Association on that suit failed to answer. That's a default in equity. And so we go on and on about proving this thing. This is not my opinion anymore, if it was. In fact, we had to know what we were talking about to sue them in 2013. So this is a long-term thing going on. The evidence of this thing has been going on, and today I finally get the evidence this week, but that's in play with COVID. Fascinating stuff. So I tracked down that. Reflexive policy was the uttered term. Blew me away. I said, okay, finally, we've got it on their lips. That's important, because I could tell you this till I was blue in the face. I could tell you you're living under so-called reflexive, so-called law. It's this adjunct policy governance, not law. It's not your government. It's sitting there to usurp your life, and I can tell you that till I'm blue in the face. Until you see a reflection that's actually in the system working, you actually, in a way, don't really believe me. And that's one of our problems. The longer you take to believe the truth that I'm telling, or anyone else for that matter, relative to a usurpation, an occupation of your life. Everyone thinks their occupation is what they do for their living and the wage slave that they are under taxes. No, the occupation that they're looking, if you look very carefully, is the one that's over your life, as any military occupation would. But reflexive policy, reflexive policy usurpation going on. There's no law. Now, when you go test the law, it doesn't exist. And you find the systems are not there to enforce the law. They're there to evade it. And it's how I know what to do, essentially, to out that and make the records that it points out, whether the system, the they, will actually recognize that. So we have a reflexive policy usurpation of our rights. It comes through a federal imposition as well. And that gets us really quickly back to, if you keep looking, back into Lincoln's More Perfect Union, where they kind of strip this whole thing down into a military district occupation. Now, Texas thinks that they're separate. I've already read all the documents. It shows you, if you read the documents about Texas relative to this Civil War, so-called, the ending, you read that it didn't ever end. All the state's people became essentially employees or agents of the federal government. And this starts to come through today in my very first story. It reflects back. You just look in the notice, and the news is telling us. But you have to have a different eye to look at it, not just a dismissive one. One is analyzing what they're telling people, what they're trying to tell you. And then you can see right through what's going on and bring it up to ask a certain question, not as a question, but to get you to the point of what they're really talking about, and to destroy the promotion and propaganda that's being promoted called, that we call the news anymore. So we have this reflexive policy is treason because it usurps, it makes war on the laws, the black and white, that was there to guarantee us the things that we thought when we were growing up we were told were available to us. I'm not immune from all that ignorance. And I'm not sure where everything, what things I don't know is there to find yet. And things come along very, not less now, but they still come along. I find new awarenesses as I put the puzzle together. This puzzle can actually come together in quite a different ways. It's still the same. You're still looking at the same thing. Like Lieber Code tells us. Lieber Code in that General Order 100. You knows them when you see them. You knows them when you see what they are. They don't have to tell you they're occupying you. You knows them when you see them. You know them by what they do, their deeds. That's on you too, your deeds. Everything, you can talk. Talk is cheap. That's what they mean by that. It's what you end up doing. And so, reflexive policy became important. What I want to touch first, though, is this connection to the federal government. And anytime federal funds are used, you look in your state, you'll find a statute somewhere that says when federal funds are used, federal law applies. That's not the only connection, but that's just one to let you know that states are not sovereign. You got to look at everything, all the facts. And certainly this COVID money, so-called COVID-19 money, pandemic fraud money, bribes, is causing a problem. But it extends into more and more things. The way they do that is through commerce as well. And you look very carefully, that's what labor is attached to, Title 29 that we talked about, through which the Biden things are coming up. But I'm going to move even more, translate it even more. We talked before about looking very carefully at the words we use, because it appears that every word, almost, it's not this way, but it sure seems after you look enough, the words have just been collected up and they're used and privatized by the government itself. Some words, literally some words, are copyrighted, if you will, by legislation. And so you got to be very careful on what's going on. When you start seeing a government co-opting language, then you realize that maybe we're not in the place that we thought we were. But we really have to look. I'm not saying we're going to know what to do with, but we have to acknowledge at some point that the reality we're thinking we were looking at is really more the illusion we were told. And so this first story, I don't know anything about it, but I just look at the facts of what's going on. It says here, and we always have that problem where we hear cops killing people. And I told you about all this before. I'm not going to go through all of it. I told you they get to go home at night. I'm going to stop right here. I go on and on about how we all can figure it out, how we don't have rights, actually, against a sovereign citizen. Which becomes a whole new thing that now anymore, where we find out who the real sovereigns are, being able to act without having to really have a defense against wrongful acts, like killing people. And so this story hit me, but not really more than what was in the story. But they kind of make it sound like, oh, it was justified in a way. But I want to get before, forget the magic trick and the props, like the taser they talk about in this story. You know, this is one of those stories where the cop, how many have we heard, like Grant got shot the same way. The cop thinks he or she's pulling out a taser, and it's the gun, and he or she kills the victim of this brutality, this violence, this thing that's never really supposed to happen if it was really what civil, like we know, peaceful society where officers are keeping the peace. This would never happen. But we don't see that. And when you don't see that, you have to start re-questioning, where are you living? But Kim Potter found guilty in killing of Dante Wright. Kim Potter has been found guilty in shooting death of Dante Wright. On Thursday, December 23rd, the jury found a former Minnesota police officer who shot and killed Wright during a traffic stop earlier this year, guilty of first and second degree manslaughter. Judge Regina Chu ordered Potter to be held without bail until sentencing, something Potter's attorney argued against, stating that the former cop, quote, is not a danger to the public. How ironic. Anyway, the point is not all this show that goes on. It is that she got hit for manslaughter, okay? That's an important thing. She wasn't immune from doing that, finally. But they want to say, they kind of dismiss it when you read the article, that, oh, it was a mistake. And so we focus on the action of the officer, and we forget that when we focus on the action of the officer making a mistake to pull out a non-lethal weapon, a lethal weapon over what they claim to be a non-lethal weapon, which we've seen is lethal, though the company denies it. Again, all these close quarters protection for the system. We missed the trick. Because remember, I just said this was a traffic stop. Remember, I've talked about, you know, even people who claim that to be traveling is their right. But I showed you in the law, the federal law, it's not. It's commerce. It's all commerce. And I told you, explained what you need to actually start to do and what do you need, the terms you need to actually start to use better. And I think those terms are not going to be able to be co-opted by the occupier because it predates even the occupier. And even if that does ever happen, you show the distinction. We have to do that a little bit on the public lands, public domain thing, the mischaracterization of the federal land versus what public domain actually is. And so we have that little thing that's a very similar term, not the same, but they pull it together. One even more sinister, public domain land. We're running into that right now in our writing our complaint and stuff. Public domain land is not public domain. And so if you don't understand these terms and you understand where they're coming from, you miss the trick. And here we're going to miss the trick on this case. A cop was guilty now of manslaughter for killing somebody, but they did it, and you hear that it's almost a mistake. It's only because she pulled out the taser and a gun instead of her taser and shot. Well, I want to get back to this traffic. And we look very carefully, and there's a traffic stop of someone in a motor vehicle. And so I want to go right to the federal law where you can find that this was not our thought, oh, he traveled by light, right, and it was okay for her to stop him. I don't think is really the story. That's what they want us to focus on. What the story is that she stopped him in being in a motor vehicle, and that is in federal law. And another thing, connection, federal funds attach. But you don't think that they're using the federal funds of the Treasury FRN in their accounting, or you don't think they get grant money to enforce traffic laws, or you don't think that they're a subdivision, administrative subdivision of the federal government, as the CIA knows in the World Factbook, or many other connections of the federal attachments that the states really essentially federal employees. They're imposing federal law. That we go and it's defined. Once it's defined, you can't go to Black's Law and stop doing that. Go to the statute first, and if it's defined, you use it from there. That's what their jurisdiction comes from. In other words, as I've said before, when they say blue is green is red, then that's the definition you have to say, you have to use. However ridiculous that may sound to you. And so let's go to really quickly to the criminal law. He got shot underneath a cover. Oh, it was just a mistake that she used the taser over what she otherwise legitimately was there for, and we have to go another step underneath to find out maybe that wasn't true either, and none of this stuff I'm going to say was ever brought to the fore, and the courts would not allow it. They just can't. They're part of the problem. That the term motor vehicle, under Title 18, that's criminal laws of the federal code, in Section 31, or definitions, you go down to 6 and read this. This is for the thing that was pulled over. The term motor vehicle means every description of carriage and other contrivance propelled or drawn by mechanical power and used for commercial purposes on the highways in the transportation of passengers and property or cargo. And so it's a commerce-connected activity. I would like to see in that story where they said whether or not that Mr. Dwight was in a commerce-connected activity, or whether or not that's a glossed-over fact that will never see the light of day, that this was not even a justifiable stop. We'll never get, if we ever recognize that, this was always a commerce, and I doubt that Mr. Dwight knew he probably was not in commerce, and he probably never promoted that he was, except for the traps the state itself promotes in order to do this stuff. Mr. Dwight would be living today because it was a commerce stop. Now, I don't know how many times I can prove this, and I don't know what to say. I don't do it by my opinion that it can be done. I find the state's documents, I find the state's documents that say, show me two different classes that no one is other than the two classes that say that one class has to file insurance and another class doesn't. In other words, common carriers have to file for insurance, but the service worker does not. We're not even talking about the people there, are we? No. There's documents from the state that will tell you relative to what the insurance responsibilities are. It has nothing to do with anything but commerce. People using the road for profit. And so this is a story that justice was not done. That a cop goes to jail relative to a killing that should happen of road. I guess there should be a hearing. I guess they should stay out. But that we cover up the fact that this was not even a proper stop. And we see no evidence in the story that it was a proper commercial stop. And that I know over the decades of doing this, that you even going into court and bringing that up, the courts will violate you on that point and try to, if you go as a defense, they will definitely negate that as a defense. And so you have to go other routes. That you have to go other routes is a failure of justice right there. And so that's why people get into this and find out how hard it is. Because you don't live in a just society. You don't live in a place of law. You are underneath rule of law. And that's not an inconsequential problem. You're in the rule, the policy application of the law. And that gets us back to this reflexive stuff. If you look at reflexive, it's supposed to be the contemplative look at the subject matter with a correct response. But actually, it's really more knee-jerk. In response to what? Well, you'll hear is outcomes. And this is going to be now replicating what you see in the term sustainability and the smart things that are smart and the things that are innovative and all these other words that they come on to make it sound like you're living in this fantastic utopian world. In fact, it's just a bunch of people taking advantage of the usurpations that came before them. So motor vehicle here, the thing that Dwight was likely being stopped on was a motor was being used for commercial purposes, was not a fact in evidence, would not be allowed. And this dismissal that it was just an honest mistake between using a taser or a gun is a lie. And the attorneys are promoting that, and the courts have promoted that. Because the whole thing should have never happened. And then if I'm wrong, let's go to the other side. Let's go ahead and look at all the... If I'm wrong and it was commerce, do you think anybody should be subjected to murder in the street because the apartheid, the legal apartheid exists in the world? Is that still law? No, it's license given by people, judges, who make law from the bench, who are advancing this destruction of your life. And then I look at this thing and seeing the entirety of the population not responding in unison to throw it off like any other harm that's grown up around a maladministration that's grown up around them. And again, I keep thinking Virginia pops up. How close people in Virginia were. How close to be the example to really make this point, to drive it home, right home. It was right there. So simple in Virginia Constitution as well. The top 3 to 5 articles told us exactly. It's how I started to see, well, that's how that works. If you don't think I don't listen very carefully to me not knowing something and want to learn more. Well, that's what they meant by this provision of alter and abolish. As you start thinking about, well, how do people do that? Well, Virginia's Constitution gives us the lineup. And it gives us the lineup also of what the prior authority is supposed to be right before we get to do that. And that's the judge, who is beholden to the people, not the state, let alone the federal government. So, Mr. Dwight, it wasn't, Kim Potter didn't just do some dismissive thing by, oh, mistakenly pulled out her taser. No, she did a commerce stop without a commerce entity to stop and a man who was innocent from being stopped. That's how far away from being free or our liberties and under law that we are. So, I don't see justice in this, even though she should go to jail for killing someone. I see that we also have a continued promotion of propaganda and ignorance in people, to people. They don't question that, oh, but for that little mistake, pulling her left side weapon or her right side instead of the other, oh, this would have been okay. You get that, right? She still had the right to brutalize that guy. but for Insa. I hope people really go and put this thing through and just sit back and think about how wrong this justice really is, even despite someone going to jail. And rare. We all look at, oh, how rare is that, that someone would have to pay. And then they haul her off early, like, you know, so she's not a danger to society after she just killed somebody without reason. Being mistakeful. No, this is a deeper problem. I'm going through all this time to, hopefully you're still listening and you understand it takes a little bit more to go stepping through what the real fundamental primary failure in the officials are. And how, when you're looking at news and news articles and things, they're leading you by the nose. Even if you're dismissive, they're leading you by the nose. Until your mind can articulate, and I may not even hit the beginning point on this, I'm just pointing the one that struck me immediately, that two steps before, there may be a third or a fourth step. And as I say that, I could develop them, but it's not necessary for this broadcast. I just have to show, just can show you, they did traffic. Traffic is commerce. Traveling is commerce. Motor vehicles, commerce. Was Mr. Dwight in a commerce activity? Likely not. No, he had all the accoutrements of what is determined and presumed to be, but that's a fraudulent inducement on him by the state itself. Not being honest as well, not being in the law. And despite there's every proof around the government's documents to show that the government agencies and employees know that. It's always fascinating. You take a document to a judge and say, but this document says that there's only two statuses subject to the question, and one of them is the only one that has to act. I'm not of either two, and the court will dismiss that document coming right out of the state. Shows you, you're not under law. You're underneath a reflexive response to keep protection from the system that's an exploiter and a usurper and occupier of your life. And I'm saying, okay, I can say that, but I'm telling you, you need to prove it. And then you need to know that you're going to get violated. And that's where we should have been mutually helping each other together. We move up together as this. We become the blood clot to this thing. And we kill it off. We become the vaccine to the maladministration. So I want to touch quickly on something that I talked about. Someone sent me a link. I thank you for listening and keeping the memory hole alive, if you will. Now that we're kind of getting into this weather condition, and Texas got surprised last year and some stories came through, I made comments about certain legislations going on, and I told you, be careful, Texas, they're doing some stuff. Someone caught that, and this is a couple weeks ago. I just wanted to point out, there's a question, but I always find how helpless the legislature, the one who makes the laws is so helpless, is another a deed that should be unforgivable. People don't stop it. But here, Texas senators blast regulator for power grid winterization loophole lawmakers wrote into law. So a lawmaker blasts a regulator for something the lawmakers did to give the loophole is really, in the title, the epitome of the dysfunction of government. And this is the same thing as this works the same way. I saw this then, and this was called back to me. You called this out in particular. That wasn't told me what it was like, but I did tell you we'd see a problem. Now they're trying to pass the buck. The legislators are the ones that make the law, and now they're complaining that the regulator took the opportunity to hand the decision over to the third-party power processor, power generator. And this is the same problem with legalizing cannabis. It's the same thing now, industry coming in to legalize about anything. You legalize something in order to bring it regulable so that you could monopolize it. That's how it works. The same thing as sustainable development. You promote at least the appearance you can regulate it, and then you can monopolize it. And anyway, so this is what I said happening last year about the legislation coming to supposedly fix all this. I said, no, that's not. This is what the problem. It's now coming to tell you that that's exactly, again, you can read that for yourself. It's not like I have some special view. Well, I do have a special view in a way, the magic decoder ring, to look at the words they're using, to look at how it functions. That everybody should have. So it's not so magic. It's just a deficiency in what we were to keep in ourselves, to protect ourselves. Anyway, so watch out, Texas. You know, this is not being solved. They don't plan to solve it. And it takes a whole, the mass of the community, as we see in Virginia, to step up. And I can't imagine that ratepayers even, they call you ratepayers. Ratepayers wouldn't just rally up and say, this is going to stop, period. Not only did you bring us susceptible and you caused this, now you're you're trying to find an evasion for the fix you claimed. And it's clear that you don't hand the third party that's supposed to provide you the energy with the decision on providing the energy or how it's going to maintain to fix the problem that was caused, where you isolated yourself in a more global system, more national system. Anyway, I can't solve all the problems. I can just point out you can see them coming. Then you're either going to stand there and watch it happen again or you're going to step up. Just wanted to point out that was in the notice in the news. It affected people. People died. And a lawmaker questioning what the lawmakers did before a regulator that allowed the loophole to the lawmaker allowed to the third party, just like I said, at the traveling comedy show. If people weren't dying, if people weren't put in hardship, and anyway, how many times do I have to say this stuff? How many times will I just show, and we see, even not just I show, but you see yourself, that we'd say nothing, and then we might even have a complaint, even in dismissal. And so then it gets us into what sits there, what is sitting there that allows this nonsense? Remember that kind of legislation is really policy legislation. Remember, if you look closely, legislators don't make law anymore, they make policy. And I pointed this out in numerous different places. And I suspect this came back in the 40s to 50s, right before the federal tax law change of 54, where the states really adopted, it ended up being foreign corporations domesticated into domestic corporations that are actually how your states run. And that started way back in the 30s as the system started to change. And again, once more, on top of the Civil War problem, the more perfect union was being made even more union, more perfect. But it wasn't into the Republic. So listening, I'm always listening for what people say. I don't listen a lot because it really makes me sick. Listening to these people talk makes me just ill. I already know what they're going to say. I already know what they're there for. I just see they keep continue talking and they continue promoting themselves and their agenda, though people don't identify it, that it was pointed out to me that on this word reflexive and how quickly this was stated in an article, excuse me, in an interview, fleeting moment, that an article here, Hamilton County mayoral candidates share COVID-19 plans in light of rising cases. Now, we already know, getting a little bit aside, the cases is misapplied word, and so this is another problem. When you know what the communicable disease law requires, you realize there can't be a case. And so the entirety of the news cycle and the government and those relying on the officials and the officials themselves are committing fraud. If they refer to a case when there hasn't been the first medical report, you know that's a fraudulent statement. But let's get back to where I was going. It was sent to me a video link to listen to because this word reflexive. It's like, oh yeah, here it is. Just like you said, they're saying reflexive. Well, I said reflexive law. Reflexive anything by these people is the same, but I didn't know which direction. They changed their words. Once reflexive law was identified a few years ago, you have to kind of wait and find out what's going on. Well, they admit, this one was pretty cool. It's straight up. We'll listen now. We would listen for it. I'm not going to play the tape, the video. You're going to listen for it. I'll read off what the statement was. But they use the word reflexive policy. And it's relative to COVID. And in a way, astonishing if you understood what it was being admitted and by whom. What would be astonishing in the face of the law? That one of the candidates, and again, I don't get that close to understand it. It's a gentleman. One of the candidates says there's a lot of collateral damage in reflexive policy, trying to do the right thing without even knowing whether it's a productive exercise. Yeah, I hope. Can I read that? Reread that for you? Can you listen very carefully of everything that was just admitted here about COVID? This anagram. Endemic variant, this moronic Omicron, is being spoken about, and the surge. And this, I think it's a mayoral candidate who's an attorney. says there's a lot of collateral damage in reflexive policy, trying to do the right thing without even knowing whether it's a productive exercise. What have I told you they're doing? They're not following law. They're going to an outcome. They're not really worried at all that they're doing the right thing. The right thing happens to be what is the means justifies the ends. The fact that this gentleman's an attorney utilizing the phrase reflexive policy, well, I'm sure he knows about reflexive law, which is not law. It's the system's modulation of the new agenda to come. It's a usurpation already working of your existing, what your prior law was. It was already being done in the judiciary. That's what I was talking about. It's what we sued in 2013. I finally get it from a member of the bar that they know that this is reflexive policy, and they define what sustainable development is relative to imposed agenda, the adjunct policy agenda, which when you find it in your laws will always have a savings clause to the prior law to preserve that, which they look right past, but you still preserve it, as I've been announcing for years how this is done. They know his speak here about non-productive exercise relative to reality is something the system's divorced from in preference to making sure the agenda gets the outcome is toward fulfilling the agenda by reflexive policy. Thoughtful interpretation of a condition, the response to which advances the agenda in the future. We see it, as I look at it, not that thoughtful interpretation to do law and justice. We see it as a knee-jerk reaction, which responds that's not consistent with law. So in a way, you look at where, without even knowing whether it's a productive exercise, is the fulfillment of the agenda, not the fulfillment of the law. And so that, I could not believe, thank you for the listener to highlight to that to me. Perfect listening to what I'm saying that you're finding in the news, in the notice, what they're doing to you. He says reflexive policy. You can take that to that bribe bank. It's not law. And you see nowhere, I've been telling you this, and you've been, those of you that have been doing the studying, to see it yourself, no law has been used here, only reflexive policy. Contemplated, premeditated actions, subverting law in order to do the outcome. And so let's go in a little bit. And again, I said this before in passing. Now we see it in action relative to COVID in a mayoral candidate that's going to be making decisions who is not keen on this reflexive response, but also is not outing the fraud. And this is where you see, this is not a champion of the law, notwithstanding he's saying he doesn't agree because it's not turning up the right response. They're not really talking about stopping the fraud, and he won't do that. And so this is not like, oh, we got an attorney here that's, you know, a champion. No, he's just not happy with the fact that the policy he knows running, the reflexive response, is starting to get in the way of actually getting to the agenda that they want. But he's not outing the fraud to shut it down, stop the bribe. No, not going to do that. And the attorneys won't. Why? Because they promote sustainable development. That's their whole membership, their membership in their guild. They're officially on record, as I've pointed out many a times, it was in our lawsuit as well, that they promote this condition. In fact, it's in the petition as an anticipatory defense against and as anticipation against the defense. It's in the Tennessee petition against the non-use of law to impose irreparable harms on people. This is that same state. This attorney knows. And it's finally out of their mouth. So I want you to know about it. This is not law. You've never been under law. Those that say the government is rotten because there's no, you know, it doesn't enforce law. They haven't been enforcing actual laws for a long time. It's always been policy, and then it went reflexive. It went to the actions it takes in order to advance what they want. The new reflexive policies are actually behavioral. they anticipate. These judges are taught to look at things to make them behavioral responses for the things in the way they want examples to go out and emanate into the environment and the society. And so I now have the proof that I can move on, that an attorney in a state running for a mayor that's doing COVID knows it's reflexive policy and not law. Let me go look now for reflexive policy, make sure it's something. In a very important paper, for those of you in Kanukistan, some of this I look as opportunities. I don't know if the worst of you would look at it this way if you're so wired. To me, it's kind of an interesting dichotomy between the military really defending the nation, and then it's walking blindly, or so it seems, into this problem where they did not, their military intelligence, so-called, did not discern that they were walking and being walked into a fraud, and now they have the complaint that they don't know about how much this is costing them and whether or not they have the manpower to continue to protect the nation. They've never done the analysis that it was a fraud that they needed to arrest. The military needed to arrest this. Well, we also know the under the backstory there, the military is involved. And so we have a real problem, but nonetheless, very interesting. Now running down this term reflexive policy, now I'm at liberty to move on to any other reflexive subject matter like modernization. Because that's what, again, modernization is another key magic code word for them, and that they're doing it to you as a bylaw, as an adjunct policy, not law. And it's going to be supported by the Bar Association. This is done in places that I don't know if I can imagine where this is all being done to bring this thing down upon people. And every law was there to stop it. Nobody wants to assert the law. Well, one or two people have, but again, it's not a big enough noise, I suppose. But here's a paper, I backtrack a little bit from where I started to find it. Kind of interesting because the title tells us what the crux of the next article that an author in the military in Kanukistan actually states. And the title of this is VIMY Paper 44, COVID-19 and the Canadian Armed Forces, Overview, Analysis, and Next Steps. And so I wanted to key on the title there, the overview, the analysis, the next steps. You'll never hear the analysis of whether or not the symptoms had an infectious agent and whether that would be definitive on being able to clearly and quickly have the military in Kanukistan figure out they are wrongly putting their personnel and material and money and funds given to them at risk and in loss and in fraud to not recognize that this thing is a fraud, and they are not then diminishing the capacity of themselves, of the military, to defend the nation like it's supposed to. And I've just given you the nugget on maybe how to start thinking on approaching the military itself and helping them do the overview, analysis, and the next steps that the VIMY Paper 44 starts to discuss now, even this late. And so let's move over to that document, the VM 44 paper. It has an executive summary. The CDA Institute at .ca is where I'm getting it. And I just want you to, again, look at where did I start this from, but looking for what? Reflexive policy, correct? Right? So this is just a simple word search. Nothing special. And this is what immediately turned up, was the military asking a question now. How are we supposed to defend the nation with all the costs and all this personnel, and then we're under threat? And you're going to see, if you have a military mind and you put yourself in the analysis and the view and where do you go next, you can write a report to these people to show how they've got it wrong, how they're walking themselves into the problem, and you can then show them what the next steps are to avoid all of it. This is a door opener discussion that I could see. Let me get way down to the very end. Because they talk about policymaker, they talk about whether or not we're actually putting our personnel at risk themselves, whether the manpower is right, whether we can keep up with this. And the analysis is, if it's fraud, you shouldn't. You should arrest it. In fact, it's a national security threat, what they're actually questioning to continue. But you can make that analysis for them because they apparently don't see it. Let me read the last paragraph. For too long, it's the conclusion. conclusion of the article. Let me go up a paragraph before it. The further there's a lot to read, but this is the conclusion, which still gives us this access to the fact that they're looking. They know what they're looking at. They don't know the meaning of it. These are questions that do not easily have answers. And so I address that, even though I'm not going to answer all those questions because there's a number of them. They do have answers, and you can start there. You've prefaced your article at the end, concluded that there was no easy answers. Let me offer you a better analysis and the easy answer to that. And you expose this Kobe fraud based on the failure to follow the law, the communicable disease law in Kanukistan. And that itself has become the national security threat that all the officials have been derelict and have caused, because it's a human-made disaster. So they can stop it as the military. Now further, they are not exclusively or even primarily questions of logistics, funding, or technical abilities. Above all, these are questions that must be answered by policymakers and the public at a more overarching political level, and the rest of on fundamental beliefs about what their military is for. And you get to come in and say, no, it's not that at all. This does not rest on the policymakers. They've done their job. It was the officials that never followed what the policymakers said. Remember, they're saying policymakers, not lawmakers here. You have to understand where they're actually talking in this whole scheme of things. And you get to point out to these people that wrote this article what their analysis is, how their analysis did not consider these things, and how it's not about the policymakers, but that the military has to decide what it's for. Is it for being led around by the nose, or for actually being objective to notice that somebody usurped the laws of the state and attacked, made war upon the state, and the military should have been already taking action to stop it? And that will stop the future questions of whether they're going to be led by the nose to keep implementing this usurpation and occupation over Kanukistanians. Moving on to the last paragraph now. For too long, the question of what Canadians expect from their military, there's your in. You can say, this is what I expect. And if a bunch of you got together, each individual, go as a movement, don't go as a group, you start bringing in the same question. This is what we expect from the military. Now, this is where you see this article actually opens the door, that you can now impose yourself, and why you get yourself into what the real point about this is. Why didn't they analyze for the fraud? At any rate, for too long, the questions of what Canadians expect for the military and to what extent they are comfortable with the military personnel operating on the home front in peacetime has gone without serious consideration. Wow, that's a big admission. Because we're supposed to also keep the peace internally. So this is a big opening statement that opens the door for anybody in Kanukistan to go right at the military. Like I've been suggesting, you'll have to know about your communicable disease law and say, look, they've usurped this whole thing. This is a national security threat. We want our military to stop it. Going on here, rather, this drift into serving as a de facto disaster response option for the federal government has been a result of reflexive policy making without a clear vision of the future. The COVID-19 pandemic is not the first scenario to raise these questions, but it could prove definitive in charting the path forward. No kidding, folks. This was a big deal here when I got down to this. Your door is wide open to come in on this. Then some of you get to ask, what other scenarios have raised this question? And you want to analyze those as well, and then those of you that ask that question, you take two steps in to provide the answer. In other words, you look different from anybody else doing what I'm saying directly. You say, I noticed you said this has happened before. Can you inform me on what it is? I'm interested in knowing what my military is supposed to be for. And you find out what these other ones are, all right? So then you aren't making that up. And you also get into a dialogue if they don't shut the door on you once you come to ask. I don't know if this is a fluff piece, but here it is. They're saying this is not the first scenario to raise this question, and the definitive charting the definitive path forward is where they analyze the fraud that's been placed on, contrary to the laws of the government, whether that be in the communicable disease law or in the not demonstrating a non-fraudulent exigency at the federal level where they claim just an emergency. So they are, this military knows that there's using reflexive policy. They apparently haven't done the analysis on what reflexive policy is connected to understand there is no reality that would show a productive outcome for people. It's planned not to have an outcome until it's done. The usurpation's over. The transformation is complete. It's a moving target. It's planned that way. And you watch how they do it with this other COVID. And so we have another reference. The military knows it's not law that they're dealing with. That was the first failure of their analysis. Why isn't it law? Why is it only reflexive policy? They should have taken that fact that there was reflexive policy without a productive end and said, we have a problem. Is your opportunity in Kanukistan, and especially if you're ex-military, you might have a better understanding, which I don't have, on how this works within the military. Contact, as a civilian so-called, contact them through the channels you might know and utilize this article to answer those questions for you and a target. Inquire upon why the military hasn't moved on the war that was made against the laws of Kanukistan. Maybe you don't want to call it Kanukistan there because they don't have an oath to that. But anyway, that's the point of the result. So now tracking through this reflexive policy, we see agencies, departments, functions, instrumentalities of the government know this is not law. And they're all looking right past that simple truth. And I don't know why they do that. But it's sort of everywhere. When you start now, we get the word. I can now point it out to you. It's not like it's new. They've been doing this the whole time. I've touched it when I said reflexive law. We now see reflexive policy is really what they recognize. We see it in all the instrumentalities. As you just go through and do this study, I get a document on what they're teaching people from, what's this, the link is gradstudiesyorku.ca. Those of you up in Canada may understand this, but found this document looking for reflexive policy, and that's the code word here. We'll just look at that in the document. It's involved in what they're teaching these people up front. This document, again, these documents, I could probably take a whole broadcast to go through, but really it's just the acknowledgement of all the sustainable things that are being promoted, like outcomes, solutions, the use of charts and things that are set up to check you into the problem, that are not critically thinking, but do advance the agents, the condition, and the methodologies. In fact, and you get down far enough right above the reflexive policy citation, you even see them citing to the WHO, the WHO. Not the rock group or the owl, not even the little bitty WHO people, but the World Health Organization. Those people are preferenced where I would have to say, in the United States at least, it's not preferenced in the law that we go to foreigners to find out who locally is an infectious principle of carrying an infectious agent, and a literal one. Let me go back to that military paper. They talk about COVID-19. They don't actually... They have not identified that you can also show this is a man-made chemical weapon attack because SARS-CoV-2 by the CDC is a patented object and it is a chemical weapon. And therefore you're not dealing with a biological weapon. And that's a second proof as to why when you look at the answers, it's not making any sense. When it stops making sense, then you probably fell off the law wagon and now we're just kind of muddling around in the muck. And bad things happen to people when they get off the main narrow path of the law. There's highway bandits, don't you know? Let's get here to this article of what they teach people. Just type in reflexive policy. We have just a paragraph I can read through it. Our discussion will center talking about this whole thing on talking about key debates. It's all about debating, right? You got to talk, talk, talk. And see, the law doesn't require talk. See, this is the whole other point. Again, there's a whole lot to say here. Every word has a direction it takes if you put it actually in practice that the law wouldn't allow, but that they're teaching in the universities, they're teaching people to do these things and the lists that they teach people to do. But going on here, our discussion will center on talking about key debates and gaps in literature. Practicing these skills will aid you in preparing your course paper and your MRP dissertation. So this is happens to be on how they're going to get, they don't do it this way, they're not getting through. And to further develop your skills in critical and reflexive policy analysis, and to enable you to situate your thinking within the broader literature. Now, did you hear anything about health? This comes from a document called Health Equity. This is another key, equity. Health Equity, an analytical orientations, theory and policy. Do you hear anything in that list that you're going to be doing reflexive policy that you see here? Anything that says health in that? No, this is epidemiology. This is taking statistics, risk management stuff. And this is how you're going to do your policy and analysis in order to advance the agenda that you're handed as some bureaucrat. That's what your health equity is. It's the government teaching its agents how it's going to be the government providing you with horrible care. All under the color of authority and experts. And so referencing reflexive policy in this document, what they're teaching people. It's interesting. It's only mentioned, I can tell, once in this whole document. But that's the core of what this is going to do. This whole document, 13 pages of stuff on curriculum, is about coming up to the point of that you will know how to develop your skills in critical and reflexive policy analysis. What the attorney was talking about, reflexive policy has no productive end, and it's only essentially do-gooders. And when you look at what that is all about, you realize, these are the usurpers running an agenda. And you can't expect them, any of them, to solve a problem because they don't see it as a problem. They're actually using it as the catapult to get them into the next stage. And they're doing a good job at this one. So, just on this little lead, coming from an attorney who is actually a dissenter, but who won't out the fraud, I'm moving along and I can now expose to you that it's not just my opinion I say these words. This is in the system already working. And I go quickly then to find out it's in the system, it has been in the system. Yet, if you hear me saying, I'm also saying, these are options, doors opening for you, if you would just do it. And now we expect that the people coming out of university are going to do better? No, that's all they know to do is reflexive policy, which has no productive end other than to do the solutions for outcomes that they're planning to usurp your way of life. Even in Kanukistan, right underneath the nose of the queen, but with her permission. Now, forget all this. So let's move into another term that attaches reflexive onto something, and I've been harping on these things for forever, modernization acts and enactments. Here we have reflexive modernization. And it's just a dictionary reference from Oxford. And we can go on and on reading it. But ultimately, it starts and you see people who have developed this. This was developed a long time ago. And it's developed on by social theorists. And these modernizations are really to make a contention. When you see them, it says here, you're in contention. You're attacking the existing structure. It's about transformation. Whenever I see modernization, and I've never seen this reflexive modernization definition, but it's exactly what I told you I've already figured out. Anything modernized is this usurpation coming, usually in the enactments in law. Those are the reflexive policy considerations in hard-baked into the system, which will come to act in the future. They're setting the bed, if you will, to do you good. But going through and reading what reflexive modernization, it starts to show that pull the players out and what their basis is. And this reminded me of the late William Roberts, where he's talking to you about all the people that were coming through these groups way, way back. And these are like the newer iterations that to come and transform your society way back from before the 1800s. He was doing, and William Roberts would do, in reading encyclopedia insertions, he was giving you the foundation for I would come up and do my broadcast on that network, and I'd tell you how they were applying all that stuff. This is what I was telling you about. I enjoyed working on networks that had people that we could work together that way. He could give you the bookwork, and I can tell you how it worked out in the street. This is what we're seeing in the streets right here, so many years later, working out. So it's just not a theory on our side, but reflexive modernization is a term devised by German social theorist Ulrich Beck, which refers to the way in which advanced modernity, quote, becomes its own theme. Its own theme, folks. You're talking about memes and themes, and this is all they're foisting on you, in the sense that, quote, questions of the development and employment of technologies, you technocrats, in the realms of nature, society, and personality, are being eclipsed by questions of political and economic management of the risks of actually or potentially utilized technology, discovering, administering, acknowledging, avoiding, and concealing such hazards with the respect of specially defined horizons of relevance. You're just looking at the sustainable techno-speak right there. And this is the other thing you'll notice as you go on. These words, these concepts are just ludicrous when you start working out what they're doing. They're causing a whole new language to be made and a whole new conceptualization of framing of the reality they're going to foist on you. And that's how it's easy. Once you start seeing it, this is a plan of foisting upon a society, what they're talking. It's not a theory, but a plan of action. And they use a lot of convoluted concepting to get you there. And you really have to stay stuck with understanding what they're talking about so you don't get lost, so that you can eventually get to the point you see how ludicrous it really is. Because you start interjecting, well, if it's not like that and it's actually like this, or if we have this condition that stops that, how do you get there? And then you see the consequence. They have to go a certain way. Now you get predictive on where they have to go. But this is what? What have I told you? All our lives now have been reduced into. I talk about wildfire management. I talk about healthcare. It's risk management, not health management, not care, not fire, not dealing with suppression. It's just managing fire. It means that the fire is burning. The disease is continuing. And they're just managing the continuance. Have you seen that with COVID? Yeah, it should look real familiar. That's what these German social theorists have imposed and have been accepted. And the failure to do law in every country that I can tell has allowed this very thing. We move down. Reflexive modernity, an intermingling of continuity and discontinuity that is said to be evident, for example, in the critique of science developed by the Green Movement, which is scientism, not science. Yeah? Green movements mentioned in reflexive modernization. What did I tell you in around 2011, 2012, whatever those years were, when the Congress put in a whole bunch of modernization acts? I said, these are going to come back to bite you in the future. And they were all to impose this very thing, these things like the Green Movement. And what you see here is the continuity, discontinuity. Isn't that the dynamic and the attack that they make a question that doesn't exist? This thesis, antithesis, synthesis problem, isn't that all this is about? If you look between the words, I hope you're saying yes. And so this is reflexive policy through reflexive modernization. It's the transformation of your lifestyle into what the Green Movement, and that's not the only one, that's just a reference. There's a few of these movements out there that are dragging you all, in fact, you're not even screaming and yelling yet, drag you all into this new technological constraint and prison. Okay, I see all this stuff I want to read. There's so much to see here, we'll never cover it, I'll never get to my tabs. Understand this is working under the skin of COVID-19. This is what the military has admitted, their analysis of an opinion piece has admitted is working, and does it work? And they want to know, well, are we really doing the right thing? And I'm saying that's your opening. The door is open, actually, for you to show, no, you're not. And you didn't frame it right. You didn't analyze it right. And you're flat-footed on a national security problem that is destroying this nation and may make you irrelevant. I don't understand how this is going to work, but the militaries are somewhat being made, and I say in air quotes, irrelevant for a greater supposed military of unity, to protect everyone in their ethics and equity, right? Well, it's not yours, it's theirs. It's the one that they want. The Green Movement is specifically mentioned underneath reflexive modernity if you don't understand the connection to sustainable development. if you don't understand the connection that I've been telling you, COVID-19 is the implementation. What Greta didn't get to do, they did with COVID-19, and you've agreed. It's all right here. They talk about transforming. All the words are in this reflexive modernization that you'd find as keywords in what they're doing to you. Reflexive modernization. We have another discussion, the future of public perception of gene therapy in Europe and educated guess. So once I was given license to go ahead and use reflexive policy because an attorney said so, and he wasn't liking what was going on because it doesn't really do what they want to have done. It's been kind of messing up, actually, that we now see the words there. I'm now given license to now move on to other things reflexive. Reflexive modernization, probably the grandfather word term of what they do. Why I've been talking about it for so many years and just mentioning it, that has no connection. Today we have something that's been going on for 2 years that is explained in the word reflexive, through the word reflexive policy, and now reflexive modernization, now attached to genetic determinism, may also be discussed in the context of reflexive modernization. There is a whole body of people that understand thought this way, that have adopted these German theorists no less, ideas. That is what's ruling your life. Nothing foundational. All a theory, not science at all. You are the test for this, actually. And they're going to get their way. It's not like this, but you're going to let yourself be cajoled into doing and proving them right, because you, even in your dismissal, you're moving the rest of society along to prove that they were correct. They're not correct, but they're going to be proved correct. Genetic determinism may also be discussed in the context of reflexive modernization. Of course, it's a framework. It's a theory. You can attach it to just about everything. And if you apply the principles of it, you can transform about anything. And apparently, you can get people to agree with it. This is the other thing about COVID. For example, Allen in 16 reference here described the eugenic movement of the U.S. at the beginning of the 20th century during this period. Genetic determinism was welcome to explain complex socioeconomic problems. I hope you're connecting up all the sustainable words here. You had nature before, now you have socio and economic, the three pillars. With simple cause-effect chains. At the end of this simple but brutal solution, mass sterilization, were realized to pretend an increase in perceived control over societal problems. Such an approach fails without doubt in the category of the first or industrial modernization. For a recent and lucrative attempt to provide simple cause-effect chains in the field of genetic testing. And so they can adapt these theories onto any subject matter, and they have. As I told you back when, it was like 5 or 6 modernization axes. And every aspect of your life they can attach this theory of implementation, and they use what people understand as the Hegelian dialectic to implement it. And it's not just that, but that's one of the things that people reference and get all excited about. Don't sit down to actually read how they actually do it, how it actually implements. It's already inside your system. I was able to identify it through our integration with commenting through to the legislature and watch all the bills. Thousands of bills came through that I had, at least that I was reading. I don't know how many other people were reading the other bills, but I finally read so many bills, I could tell you this was like erector set legislation where they put pieces and parts in bills. And I could see how they could tie things together. Well, how did I know that? Because they were mentioning it. But you had to see all these bills, dozens and dozens and dozens of bills that came flying in that if they got passed or the majority got passed into law, they would just, there's an administrator in the back that would assemble the law for them to use. And this is what they're doing. This is how they get it done. And this is part of the thing that has to be interfered with at some point. There's a couple of weaknesses. I just decided with Jefferson Minded, we all decided and we were talking about how do we best attack this. We only have one shot at it, and we just hit him right directly on it and didn't worry about all these extraneous things. But I hope you understand here, genetic determinism, we've got gene therapy going on with the COVID. This has all been in the works. It's all reflexive policy. The attorney tells us the truth. The liars that they are, they tell us the truth, but he only tells a part of it, right? So that's why they're still a liar. He didn't go after the fraud. And he can't. As a politician, he's got to lie because he's got to get into office. And he's not going to rock the boat. Ron Stevens. As I remind that, I haven't heard from Ron forever. But anyway, even though we were supposed to talk, never heard. But anyway, go on here. So you hear right here what we are seeing. We hear the acknowledgement of the failed programs and the wrongful answers and the things that don't go to the that are wrongful against people, and sustainably so. And then no one really stops it, except for years later we feel all indignant, like people got sterilized. And yet I've told you, I've mentioned that the Vatican knows what's going on in Africa. Oh, they'll point to some, they'll point the victim, the perpetrator, someone else, but they're the one that's actually doing it. Well, let me get now, move reflexive modernity, reflexive modernization, and is what? I told you, it's risk management. It's not a functional management of a real thing. They're managing the risk of you finding them out as they perpetrate fraud and crime upon us. And making money at it, getting energy, if that's, you know, again, I'm just going to not get into the money problem, but they move your energy in the form of something into their pockets to do more to you. There's an article here, Reflexive Modernity and Risk Society. This is what the Beck dude, a theorist, came up with. They're implementing this. You get a document, it's available to you to read. Again, I could take probably many broadcasts, which I don't want to waste my time on. You either see this stuff and realize it's playing out, or you don't. And you have to see that very quickly, because we don't have to waste, I guess this is what makes me upset a bit. We can't waste more time on how this is, we learn about how they're taking us down, or the earmarks of them. You have to listen to someone like myself who can show you where to go find them now acting, and we need to attack that. Like COVID is easily, I said it, Vince, and I hope you get better, and I hope, Vince, I hope you pay attention, please. We don't need another one down. At any rate, I don't know what to say about that. We need to understand that they're there so we can stop them. We don't need to understand, oh, how they're taking us out. That, like I said, William Roberts was telling you in spades how the history and the implication was happening, and I was showing you where it was happening. And now we're into it. Now this is it. International Journal of Humanities. This is about you, not mankind, but human, and this is you as an animal, like a barnyard animal in a stockyard being cared for, like the veterinary clinics, they deal with you in this human condition, not the man state. And this is you look at the constitutions, they don't talk about humans. They talk about man having rights. And so this is a very big distinction, but you see, reflexive modernity and risk society is the theory that they worked on. And this is where you get the precautionary principle coming up. Oh, we better be afraid into the future, and we will try to protect from every potential risk and not make the mistake that we do what? Violate nature. Divorcing our nature and divorcing our interaction with that. And divorcing even the theory that maybe the earth has created us like George Carlin said, to make plastic, if we want to think evolutionarily. Maybe we're not the hub of that either. But anyway, the point is we're on the International Journal of Humanities. This is global. Reflexive modernity and risk society is the society you live in now. Risk society. It has nothing to do with actually solving real problems. It has to do with what the bureaucrats can do statistically to create a problem to try and tell you they're solving it. And yet you heard the attorney saying, but it comes to no productive end. That's right, because as long as they have no productive end, they continue their reign of terror on you. Speaking of reign of terror, Fauci's war on science, the smoking gun. This is an article written referencing the Great Barrington Declaration, and it's a list of emails where this Fauci. Fauci, the meaning of his name in figuratively is to fall prey to. It's always amazed about these names. Literally, in the language of his name, it means jaws. And so, if you look, this guy was predicted coming, but Fauci's War on Science, written on the Brownstone Organization, mentioning the Great Barrington Declaration, and a bunch of emails that came out. And you need just to watch how this article is written. Jeffrey Tucker writes good articles about some of this stuff, although I wonder how well he's seeing the comprehensive view still, even though he speaks somewhat comprehensively. He points out that some emails have been dug up about Fauci and some other people. I'm not going to get into it all, they needed to take out these people who authored the Great Barrington Declaration, who happened to be your Ivy League type professors who are now on the outs, right? They're not the experts anymore. And this is how ludicrous this whole thing becomes if we would just watch what's going on. But that they the other thing to watch is that Fauci doesn't regard science at all. He just regards the next opinion piece that will come up that will elicit some emotional response in most people, which keeps him protected. And that's how you have to see they do this. This is a really perception management. And this is another indication of that. That's what the emails tend to show. Again, everyone can know that. What I need to know here, it is really happening. We need to now put that over there, and we need to now stop these guys, is the point. These guys are, and they're hurting people and killing people. Millions, folks. I can't even imagine all the millions that have been killed and maimed here with this stuff. But in an interesting article, Fauci's War on Science is really the point. He doesn't really regard it, and he doesn't have to because no one's imposing it. We allow as well the CDC to say the epidemiology is science when it's just cooking the books. It's statistics that they make up, but which the manufacturers make up. And Jeffrey Tucker calls this the smoking gun. I'm saying, no, you take it for what it is. You take it, you know them when you see them. Their deeds tell you who they are, and we can run with it. And no, you don't run at them with it. You just show, again, that they, in this case, he doesn't have authority. Tucker doesn't even talk about this. None of these people have authority. It's your local law that has the authority. And none of that was enforced. No, we now have admission. It's all reflexive policy. Not law 101, not even the first step. Even their teachings, their education to the agents of the change, of transformation, are strictly looking at how to be critical thinking about your reflexive policy. But what that is of imposing the sustainable development, as we see as a term. It's a grander thing, certainly. Okay, so I don't know. I just talk and then also I get really calm. Maybe I'm just tired all of a sudden. But no, I get calm and I think, you know, if people really got fired up about what I just now said or even last few minutes, we would solve this. We really would solve it. And I said that epidemiology, and he mentions it right in the second paragraph. He was talking about that as a focus. Public health and epidemiology is not your health. Public means government. Public means the instrumentalities of government. So it's government health and epidemiology tells you the truth. That if Jeffrey Tucker saw that, he would maybe write a different type of a proof, I guess. See, to me, it's proof. We have no questions anymore. To me, this is not the smoking gun. Not to dismiss Jeffrey Tucker. I've never met him, don't talk with him, don't have a clue about him. He writes some pretty cool stuff. And to that, I want to give him that much credit. But at some point, we are all falling short. And I want to, you know, again, I say that. I don't know where I'm yet falling quite too short yet. And we'll maybe see that in some future. But right now, being able to see this in his work, again, I guess I'm giving him, I want to see him rise up even more powerful in his literary work because it's there to be done. Again, this is not a smoking gun. This is what it's supposed to be. Tells us right up front. It is the causes, the ramifications that we see that brings innocent people into harm's way and allows the perpetrators to invade the nation without any sort of accountability. It's fascinating. What happens now, we get this, Australia hiring people to hunt down vaccine refusers. I mean, I don't even know what, do we think, does your mind even continue thinking when you hear that? Austria to hiring people to hunt down vaccine refusers. Do we need to hear more how insane this is when you don't have law? Since when are people being hunted down for being innocent? What did I say earlier relative to the getting into the broadcast? Differentialist apartheid? You're going to find that coming up in this modernization, this reflexive modernization. That differential was mentioned, wasn't it? Did you pass that when I was talking about it? I mentioned differentialist apartheid. That's what reflexive modernization or reflexive policy does. It's what you see coming literally out of Israel. I hope you're putting these things together. This is there to see. This is there to sense. This is there to understand almost immediately once you see this working out. Hunting down innocent people. Amazing. Hunting down a failure, a dereliction of the government itself, is the earmark for thesis and antithesis. And everybody seems to remain silent on this. Fascinating. Do I need to read more than the title? I could not ever really imagine this sort of discrimination growing up. I don't know. Again, I'm speechless. I just read that and I'm still speechless. And then we see, it's just in Austria? No, New York legislation provides for indefinite detention of unvaccinated at governor's whim. Governor's whim should tell you all you are. That's reflexive policy, not law. All this came from an attorney speaking the terms, just confirming it to me. Allows me to then go, okay, whoop, here we go. Here's what they opened the door to. Here's all the proof you're never going to see your government back again. You're never going to see it turn out a non-insane movement because it's not even insane. They actually are planning this. This is actually premeditated to get them somewhere, to transform a society as the theorist thought, even though that was never the case. New York legislation provides for indefinite detention of unvaccinated. Where did that first come from? Well, in a case, not necessarily the first place, but that we know about and what this is all related to, what I told you this Operation Hindsight 2020 would do. But 9/11, right? The first PATRIOT Act and making everybody an enemy combatant and subject to indefinite detention. And then the murder memo. It said, yeah, they could do it and they could kill you and get away with it. And they denounced even Lieber Code, remember? How long has this been coming? I've been telling you about all this stuff. And I hear crickets. And I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. And this is, I guess, proceeding now before the legislature. Again, if you'll see Texas senator complaining to a regulator who's been given the permission to make a loophole by the senator or the legislator himself, you can't, what else are you going to say? You can't leave this alone. They're going to do the same thing to you in New York. And they're just going to implement what I told you was being furthered through the COVID, which was the institution of everybody in any nation underneath the war of terror, now being the terrorist, and identifying everyone that they need to, they identify you as a group, they identify you in a term, and then they have captured you. And if you don't understand how to stop that, or start taking inroads to make records that show they're the ones that are the terms that they're talking about, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, then you're not listening to what I'm saying, because that's the whole key. You need to find yourself, make a record that you're not where they're going to claim you are, and you need to have the objective black and white basis to prove it, and that they are violating the very same thing that they are claiming, or not, fraud by omission of not saying that they failed to do something up front. And now they are causing, it's a self-inflicted wound that they now cause you to pay for. So, indefinite detention on the unvaccinated. As, and this is how stupid this starts to get, alert, Japan places myocarditis warning on vaccines requires informed consent. Now, why is this even a special title? But it is our problem. Japan places myocarditis warning on quote vaccines. I guess I needed to say this is in quote, is a not a quote, but a single line. I don't know I can't remember what they're called. Single line vaccines, because they're not. And thank you to the author of that. For a what? A safe treatment, right? The very thing they deny is going on is the thing that Japan now recognizes, and I couldn't find a counter discussion about this. I'm going to accept it as the truth. New York is going to put unvaccinated people in indefinite detention for not wanting something Japan identifies as giving you myocarditis. The very thing that was told to us that would cause, that is that the manufacturer stated would happen and was being given to people. Shows you reflexive policy. They're not law. None of this is law. You couldn't come up with this if you'd done laws. I keep referring to this. Austria, tie these together, hiring to hunt down vaccine refusers who very well now in Japan would be able to be required to have informed consent to make the rejection with the fact that you could get myocarditis. It's not so safe now, is it? That just blows out, completely blows out the CDC, the FDA, all of it, right there. And so we can qualify that, that's done. For those of us that may or may not feel that we have anything in any power, this is all proof. It's all notice to us. We've been lied to. It's predictable because they weren't following the law. That was clear right before we got started. And it was on pressing an agenda. Whether that's a military-backed thing, which it certainly looks like. Now I hear we have the armies now come up with the universal vaccine for the common cold nonsense. But now they're promoting it. I can almost see this as a step down away from all these boosters. Oh, just take this last one now. And what that does is it gets you into that one last one, and they can shut this thing down now that they got all their controls in place. And so, I don't know about that, but that's the new promotion. As Pfizer, remember, alert, Japan just places myocarditis warning on these jabs. Remember I told you it was a jabdemic. As Pfizer is buying a cardiovascular biopharma company for $6.7 billion. Billion with a bravo. I can't even imagine these numbers. But Pfizer is about to buy Arena Pharmaceuticals for $6.7 billion. Arena is a pharmaceutical company focused in part on cardiovascular and inflammatory medicines to a global patient cohort. Global patient cohort. A majority of mainstream news outlets have focused their reportage on Arena's bowel disease treatment while failing to mention the firm's cardiovascular research. So, they cause the problem, they then go give you to treat, as I've told you before, endless diseases. And you're going to be endlessly abused by the medical system, which one nurse in Ventura County calls horrible care. Totally agree with that. So, again, you see the writing on the wall here as Japan comes out to say, yeah, it gives you this stuff, and then Pfizer buys the company that's going to be selling the medicine to treat that untreatable forever until it kills you off problem that is in a safe vaccine, no less, is policy reflexive of an agenda. In this case, to put you under horrible care. Obama scare, Trump scare, whatever, the new universal health scare upon you. I don't know what more to say. Again, I get kind of peaceful. I'm saying it. I'm telling you folks, and we sit there watching it, and nobody does much of anything. And moving into this, again, reflexive policy, it brings up outcomes which people can take advantage of. Left and right, we see again here, nearly $100 billion. Again, these dollars are just phenomenal. Can't even imagine them. Not two nickels to rub together, I guess, does that. But $100 billion? Wow. Nearly $100 billion pilfered from pandemic relief funds, roughly 100 arrested Secret Service. Now, okay, I could read all these stories again. I just look at the titles. Yeah, they could be misleading. Yeah, you got to go read in the story. I get all that. But let's just take it on face. 100 arrested by the Secret Service. That's telling me Treasury's involved. So this is a Treasury attack on you as well, on top of it all. And so that there's a lead to that, because that gets you into your states and back to your, but that Brady City, City of Brady saying, no, we're not going to be underneath the leash, but the Secret Service is involved on people pilfering $100 billion for a pandemic relief funds, which is a fraud itself. And so the little guy goes down for accepting the bribe to take advantage of something that was never supposed to be on the books anyway. And yet you don't see the Secret Service taking down every governor for taking a bribe, every county commissioner, Fauci, the president. Nobody. No one gets taken down except for the 100 that took advantage of the bait. Like what? Someone who contacted me wanted to deny they were a taxpayer when they went to get their COVID money and had their pension attached. Same plan. Same thing. Automatically, you can just watch it, and I don't know. I really don't know. So, here we have it, right in the system. The Secret Service is going after those that participated in the taking the bait and done wrong on a system that done wrong. It's not justice. It's not law enforcement. Yeah? Can we get partially agree on that even, if you don't want to fully agree? And if you can partially agree, maybe some of you said no because you know where we're going to go with that. Even partially, it's a big problem we have to stop, right? It's on us. So unvaxxed are going to get a hunt down. Those unvaxxed are saying, oh, no, if we live in Japan, oh, no, I'm fully informed. I don't want to get a heart problem. I don't want to get the clot shot forever. Now my heart's destroyed. I don't want that. Let's find a better resolution. And the answer to that is let's isolate what's really attacking us. And if it's that flu that none of your flu vaccines will work on this year, why don't you put more time into identifying what the seasonal influenza is going to do? So if you're going to offer something, it actually does something. It doesn't hurt me too. Like give me wrongful expectations. It's going to do something. Oh, well, that just defines the whole of the entire treatment we're seeing in all these sicknesses, isn't it? And pharmaceuticals like Pfizer going to buy the companies that treat the very thing they give you, which is supposed to be safe and authorized by the FDA, please. From a CDC that's never supposed to have the jurisdiction to do what it's been doing anyway. And never, ever should have had jurisdiction in the states, which was a violation of the breach of separation of powers where the legislature already said what's going to happen in health matters in your state. White House tells unvaxxed Americans to prepare to die. You're looking at the winter of severe illness and death. Okay. Same problem. It's like you're going to get hunted down. You're innocent. Unvaxxed Americans prepare to die. The proof is the vaccinated are more susceptible now. But you're all, he's admitting to something here, you're all going to die. Particular to severe illness, they, the government, and the pharmaceuticals have not captured the correct influenza, which can kill you. And it does every year to the tune of 500,000 or more globally, if I have that number right. You're looking at a winter of severe illness and death. I've seen people talk about dark winter. Folks, you stay healthy. Do your thing and stay healthy. Let this buffoon do what he's done. But the point we want to see here is the unvaxxed are being threatened by something that he has no jurisdiction over, has no knowledge about, that cannot prove. The evidence is all completely counter to this, but it continues. Again, just reading the captions, at least on these articles, tells us plenty. I could read and read. We could go on. I mean, all these little points, I don't know what difference it makes. Once you see this is the problem, it's not to say dismiss it. This is the threat they're putting to people who may come after you locally, like Austria. See, it's already happening in America. They just didn't have the stupidity to come out and say, we're going to hire people to come after you. I don't know if that's going to work so well in America, but they're already doing it when they get people working third party places and you go around the country when you do your shopping and stuff, that they have other people that think it's their job now. That has been the whole entire time. They've been given that third party license I told you was going to be so serious for us. But now the president says you unvaccinated folks should prepare to die. No one's mourning for those of us that are should be prepared to die. They don't care. This is all about an agenda. This is all about, again, there's no science behind it, and there's not expected to be once you understand it's what? What the attorney in Tennessee told us. It's reflexive policy. Whatever they can get you to do to cause a knee-jerk reaction to fall into their jaws. And whatever they get to get you to do to stay silent against their crime. Remember, there's always that part. If you don't respond against it, they still win. They still stand there to be able to say this. So the White House tells out unvaccinated Americans prepared to die while Japan says, you might get myocarditis from being vaccinated. If we didn't know anything else, folks, I'm just talking, just look at that. If we didn't know anything else, Japan is saying, no, you're going to get this heart problem that sticks with you forever, then it kills you by getting vaxxed. So I guess we can add to this. White House tells unvaccinated Americans prepare to die because they're lying to all the ones that got vaxxed and don't want to tell them they're going to die. We get to prepare maybe for the deaths of the ones that got vaccinated, those of us that are unvaxxed, the ones that are vilified. And I don't know if I have it up here on the thing, but this new army vaccination, they need to do some tests. They're now looking for unvaccinated people who've never had COVID. I don't know how you do that in symptoms. I don't have that link. I don't know how they're going to find people that never had coronavirus, the common cold, with their universal vaccine. If you watch how stupid military intelligence really is, or you're looking at the culprit, as I've been pointing out to you the entire time. And they're doing it again under Title 50. It's simple. Simple stuff to see how the words have been contorted to put us in a false sense of security and give everybody that's a criminal, an organized criminal, the advantage, if you don't know that. And going and moving into, there's going to be a link that's going to be hard to pick up. I hope you all can get it. I keep having trouble getting into it, but a story passed through. Moving back through the idea of where this origins might be coming through and who is giving the lab, if you will, the societal lab to give us what's going on. A story came through I found and captured. Like I said, getting to this website is very hard. It's like a list of publications you can get into. But I'm reading from that oddball website, compelling reasons not to knock anti-vaxxers. While the president's telling unvaccinated to prepare to die, while the Austrians are hunting down the unvaccinated, while Japan is saying you're going to get myocarditis, you have to be warned you could get myocarditis. There's compelling reasons to not knock anti-vaxxers as we go to Israel now. Israel was always going to be interested in COVID. The Zionists was always going to be interested in COVID case study, interesting as a COVID case study. Again, there's no real case there. They're just saying blanket presumptions. There's no actual medical report finding someone with an actual infectious agent because there is no test. The COVID case study, as it was first out of the gate and now boasts 80% of the population fully vaccinated. It was the envy of other nations. Pro-vaxxers cannot be comforted by data coming out of Israel now. It is logging the highest infection rates and more in the world with 650 new cases daily and reports of 60% of the gravely ill patients have been fully vaccinated. David Donald O'Connor, a viral sequencing expert at University of Wisconsin-Madison, says, quote, Israel represents the best data coming out anywhere in the world. It is a working experimental lab for us to work from. So are you in every other nation, but this one's kind of captive audience, isn't it? An experimental lab. This whole thing's been an ongoing experiment. That's why it has no productive end. It's coming from reflexive policy to an outcome. Not health. Not stopping a pandemic. No, they invented it in order to foist the next thing on you and using it as a cover. A serious cover. As I told you going into this years ago. He goes on, quote, do not think the boosters are the solution, close quote. The lessons here is not to treat anti-vaxxers as pariahs or lepers. Never disregard what thousands of virologists, scientists, and doctors warn against. As time goes by, there is more and more compelling evidence that vaxxers maybe have been better off eating ice cream. Folks, okay, so this is all predictable. He acknowledges again, as time goes by, I told you that. That's what the courts told us was going to be the future. And I said, even then, it's going to be hard to get in there because they've already given the governors in the United States of America or any other seated decision in ultimate authority the power. And they're not going to challenge the determination made by the executive office. And I said, the only way I know to get at that, if you have a just system, even so, a judge that may do the right thing, is to attack it with the fraud. And identify how. Not you feel it's fraud. You identify how it hasn't been shown to not be a fraud. So you start out with the failure, the dereliction of the law, to follow the law, and then you show that they couldn't comply because there is no test, and you bring that forward. And then you would hope that would be all that you needed to do. Well, it's not. But the point is that it shows you, because it's not, you're dealing in a system, a complete governmental system across the globe that has been usurped. And so we see, I told you, focusing on Israel is going to show us some stuff. Even this guy is saying that was a petri dish. Oh, no, the Princess Cruises wasn't enough. We're going to go to a nation state, so-called. No, the Zionistas played an important role in all this, the technocratic situation. We see a little bit of that in the next story. Not story, but document. And thank you to the emailer that provided this. This is like the game plan, one of the game plans relative to what's going on. And the working with the enemies of the agenda in focusing on y'all that will resist It's a document called Between Conspiracy and Extremism, a Long COVID Threat, question, introductory paper. And it was done by ISD. What's interesting a little bit about this, not to get, I won't have all the names. There's a woman that is one of the CEOs, the founders of ISD. She's very well placed with all the governments. She's very well placed with the UN, it turns out, because the other founder happens to be a known Zionist and very well connected with the UN. And you'll see the terms of UN sustainable development throughout this document as they work with governments to identify the opposition. That's you, you unvaccinated people, you refusers, even though they don't have it's just an agenda. It's a the government, even we now know the military knows it's reflexive policy and not law. This document shows us a game plan on what how they go about what they're doing and identifying things relative to what you might do in refusing. And so I'm going to kind of touch base on a statement I made back to the emailer of this game plan, essentially, relative to what's going on and how they go about doing what they're doing. And what and it confirms what I've been telling you about doing things by yourself, but with mutual help, and don't use groups necessarily, because they need to identify a foe. A government has to identify a foe to fight. If you don't present that as yourself and you use the black and white, they also can't vilify that you're using it at some, well, they call this document something about fighting. See, they always come in the warm and fuzzy, that they're hiding, fighting power solutions to extremism, hate, and disinformation. Extremism is someone who will not agree with their transformation policies and methods. You hate them then for that, and you'll, the disinformation that you say to call them out is what they're talking about. This document speaks to that, means you're on target, and then this, and they're in the seat of decision about this. They have the they're the influencer, and you're not, which informed me long ago how people have to fight this, and you can't be a movement. And you'll see in this document, as I maybe go through here my discussion back about this document, receiving it, what is going on. You see them talking to solving something, like public, some public harm, crime. Well, that's a very narrow thing they're looking at. And so that's the thing that gives them the in to have this discussion at all. But most of you all, you'll read in the document, don't fit that description. And what your resistance is being used by exploiters, which is probably them, to make you look bad. And so you have to be very cautious on who you work with as well. It's a very difficult time in that regard. And you have to be correct in what you're doing. Why I said go to the black and white so you don't have a question. Everybody who gets involved really knows where the basics and foundations are. You're not walking off into the weeds of someone's idea on how, you know, the next new silver bullet. What this document speaks to in trying to solve is what the, as I say, on this to this emailer was my, what always interests me is the myopic tact taken by these psychopaths. And what they try to do is the warm and fuzzy side, like they're doing something helpful. What they're doing is actually getting someone's favor to put impose these agenda policies in place or these responses in place. I say here, despite admitting, and you'll see this in the document, despite admitting that, quote, concerns about government overreach and creeping authoritarianism are, of course, justified, and protest should always be a cornerstone of free democratic societies, close quote, when mobilizing cuts across all sectors of society, evidenced in, quote, a lack of ideological coherence, you'll read in the document. If the actual purpose of the report is to cut off the engagement of harmful activities, these people blind themselves to needing to find the official fraudulent cause, resulting in, quote, a range of authoritarian responses globally, the report admits are occurring. So this report admits you have the right to be watching, that they admit to creeping governmental overreach, that the protests are justified in so-called democratic society. You're doing that part right. What they're worried about is the lack of coherence that you see, where there's people exploiting those conditions to do harmful activities, they say, but that they also admit that there is a range of authoritarian responses globally. In other words, there's no law. There's no action taken by government under law. This document admits to all the crime we've been talking about. And yet they focus on the resistance. They try to make a place where you have the right to do so, but then they bring you up. They have to put you in a big giant net with the small amount of group of people that are actually using your rightful needs and rightful things that you do to exploit them to cause the question. I've always seen this to be the subverter, the one that the government sends in, you know, that informant type thing. You have to weed those people out quick. But it says here, this document admits to the officials, you have the right to do all this. And I've been offering you another nuance to do it more right. But don't protest. Go ahead and go after that overreach. What's the overreach? The overreach is the government not following the law. The black and white. Simple. And you have the right to do that by this document. So I'm saying this document shows you, if you listen to me, I've been giving you the information this document would otherwise attack you on how to not be attackable, short of them just being criminals. And that can always be. An occupier can always turn on you when they stop being nice. I said, responding to that statement, the quicker solution, even quicker than writing this document, would instead to be to arrest the crimes committed under color of authority, which have caused the delegitimatization. There you go. Of this, I got to work it backwards. Of the state relevant to protection of the Constitution, they're worried about delegitimizing the state. Perfect, as my thought, but they're using that as the wrong thing, where the governments are admitted to do overreach. That they, the government, the German government says that they've got to protect this because it's against the Constitution. So I've been telling you, you write this stuff out of the Constitution, and you can't be one of these that the government has figured out as a foe. And so they decry this despite being victimizing the very people by thuggish usurpation of the reports the purported official perpetrators are protecting and defaming the people they were to lawfully serve. This shows you it's not law. It shows you it's this reflexive policy. The government's instrumentalities are coming against you for resisting their usurpation of law. The very democratic processes they say that you, by just protesting, are not delegitimizing. You have to bring your constitution. That makes it legitimate, doesn't it? You can't be that. They have become the sovereign citizen problem, not you. One hybrid threat that's not investigated in this is the failure of, quote, the democratic government institution to check the evident usurpation of law and the allowance of non-governmental sources to be cheerleaders to governmental dereliction and cover-up. You don't see that them investigating their own problem. This is the same thing with the military. The answer to the military in Canada is the same one to this. And I hope you see the threat of the consistency with how easy it is to respond across the spectrum of attack or wherever it might sit, because you're sitting in a very simple place. This is the black and white that's been failed that they don't want to look at. The criminal won't look at the law. These folks don't look at the law. They'll blame you for resisting that they're breaking the law, and that's just like a blank bank robber just pointing you and saying that your witness is a crime, that he's ripping off the bank. And then you get arrested. Why? Because the bank robber is actually the government. The bank robbing the bank of your rights. So this is what leads me to believe, and I read through all this, the document is showing that they have to identify a foe. They got to give it a name before they can attack it. Why I've said don't go in as groups. Go by yourself, but have mutual understanding and aid of each other at a distance, if you will. And that's why if there is going to be a movement, the movement has to have your identity has to be something that's not pigeonholed into a place that they can make it a foe. It has to be related to asserting the law. And together with this email was sent another article that was attacking Kennedy relative to his testimony. I think it might have been in Louisiana. And I said that he's a problem too. So they're attacking him. He's an attorney. He's not outing the fraud. He's talking about mitigation. You can't actually embrace him, even though he's saying he's helping the children. But you have to distance yourself from someone like that. Because they're looking for a celebrity to create the foe for the government to legitimize their claim that your attempt is to delegitimize it. And I'm saying if you use your constitution and your laws, you can't be shown to not embrace them. They are shown then immediately to be the outlaw. Immediately. You've truncated the whole problem. And so this document was really insightful to show us really how we can respond if we have the eyes to see. I wanted to put it out. I thank the emailer for sending it to me. Again, we don't, all this information is out there, but not everyone's eyes everywhere, so it helps. I tend to want to focus on this stuff because this is giving us the future on how we can respond if we just will. But otherwise, and this Zionist started company with the woman that's got all the connection to making this fraud a thing in the future, is also indicative of this technological reflexive movement, sustainable movement, and we're seeing it as we've been seeing the Australia leading on the pinnacle of the wrong. We now see telehealth to become a permanent fixture in Australia's healthcare system. These are going to be technocratic reviews. It's going to be at a distance. It's like you're never going to really see any real healthcare at all. It's going to be horrible care. It's going to be done by committee, essentially. There's going to be no less a chart that someone's going to have to fill out. All those critical thinking policy analysts that they're being trained are going to be chart lookers, and then the chart's going to tell them, like we did it used to do in troubleshooting. We used to listen to a quick cheat sheet, go through a couple of things in the list. It's a checkoff list, and if you go through that, usually you solve your problems. That's how your healthcare is going to be. They just troubleshoot you as a machine, and if you come up with something they don't solve, they look at your age and whether what kind of contribution you're doing and how well you're performing in your social credit, then they'll decide on that as well. But it's already coming into Australia. What I'm talking about has been coming based in these types of reports that look for your confining you into the new transformative, modernized world that is, by its existence, tells you there's a war going on. Again, where's the military? There's literally a war going on, and national security is at risk, and no military steps in. And what's the problem with the telehealth? It was responded to in another email, a whole bunch of stuff. I won't give you more than to say back in 2005 it was being talked about. Poverty and the American dream. They talk about the welfare system. They talk about the volunteer outreach work volunteer outreach work with Boston Welfare Office, a Department of Transitional Assistance, and someone's experience about how really the poor and the impoverished are exploited by companies. And this brought up an interesting thing that I don't know if it's still in play or not, but where private third-party companies like, I think it was Lockheed, big data companies were stepping in to take private control over data and healthcare, making decisions based on how many people essentially that they've dissuaded from being in the system. That was part of the plan, that your healthcare was based in a third-party data company. And this is from 2005 talking about this stuff. This has been dissed. Two companies trying to do it found out it was going to be way more expensive and you wouldn't be able to do it. But this is a new day now. Telehealth is now something. Somebody runs that data. This is the new future. This is the e-government. And this is the showing how it preys on the poor. Well, you may not think of yourself as poor, but everyone's moving into austerity. You're all going to be assigned to a behavioral control condition, and you're watching COVID and the condition of this apartheid that's now set against us, this differentialist apartheid, which is reflexive modernization, being put on us. You're going to be shoved into this status, and then you're going to be determined by some third party, like we now also hear, what we've heard before. Microsoft is accused of stealth takeover of UK health services. Some third party data acquisition company, surveillance company, is going to have your data and control your life. It's now a thing in Australia. And when I said you better look ahead to Australia, it's looking like the military, you know, the martial law state. That, it looks like it's coming to bear. It's putting and transforming your society to the technological future that's described in reflexive modernization as a theory of sociologists, I guess. And we have this admission, a Microsoft exec, we go to Microsoft third party, that bad can happen, likely why Google got rid of Don't Be Evil. Microsoft exec, federal law enforcement's secret targeting of America's records routine. So anytime the government's involved, you got the government agencies can look in. Where's your privacy? we've seen that the FBI can make stuff up, and they can make up stuff to evade the duty that they've evaded themselves early, like in the D.B. Cooper we were talking about. And they have a back door right into, as part of the law, to implement what Microsoft gets. And so we have an admission now, the federal law enforcement secretly targeting Americans, records routine, and they do it, again, the routine is, they have no probable cause as well. It's just a sucking up of lots of information. Okay? It's just what is going to happen in the future as they move us into this telehealth, any e-government. No check and balance whatsoever. You've lost the law. You have to know you're in a reflexive policy condition. Brecha, a health minister, admits vaccine passports are a disguised vaccine mandate. Yeah, and it's also going to be digital, right? Some company or some state is going to have control of all that. Their military and their so-called law enforcement apparatus has a direct line to it. Let's keep moving on. And if that's not more, and we keep hearing it, implantable microchip stores your COVID vaccination status. This is not even new news. It's all through Microsoft, Amazon, ServiceNow, Royal Mail, an AI facial recognition firm, which is all data acquisition, private parties, which the government's in the backside of. If we can also, I'll get back over to Corporation Nation again, Clint Richardson's documentary, telling you how that all works as well through the boards and the government puppeteering that goes on there. I don't know how that actually works in some regard, but who's the one that's pulling all the strings? But they are. You can watch the effect. Now, countering that, and I was hoping something, maybe someone's listening behind a woodshed, I'm hoping that there's people out there with original ideas. Anti-vax group, to counter all this can happen, the anti-vax group vows to open its own clinics. The American Frontline Doctors Organization, which opposes vaccination and governmental measures to stem the spread of COVID-19, has promised to open its own clinics, inviting medical staff and pharmacists to join, which I suggested they need to do. A third of the population could be going the route of no more Medicaid, Medicare, all that. You just got to go and take responsibility for yourself and have the doctors that will take cash, whatever that is, take cash in order to care for you. This can happen. I told you this could happen. Here it goes. You can counter all this nonsense. You don't need Microsoft. You don't need Lockheed. You don't need the government. Just take care of yourself. And we get now, because the government can't take care of you, flu vaccines don't match main circulating flu virus strain researchers find. What I was telling you, they may not be doing the flu virus strain that's going on, and it's getting worse and worse. There was evidence of that, at least before they started high grading some of the influenza numbers over to COVID. Right, flu vaccines don't match. Go ahead and get the vaccine. It doesn't match. It's not going to stop anything. And in fact, the new technology shows us that they actually give us, the new information is that they actually make us more susceptible. All right, so they promise to do the care. No, the doctor is going to tell you about that. You can tell the doctor the flu vaccine doesn't match. How about if we try something else? What else you got for me? What else can I do as a prophylactic, not so chemical, not something out there? Just what can I do to keep this thing down for me? Again, folks, I haven't seen much myself, and I don't know what to say more than that. It's pretty self-apparent relative to all this. As the Japanese scientists developed glowing masks to detect coronavirus, that's a common cold. I have to look very carefully, and I think this is more of a sinister thing. It's a trick. I don't see any validity in what they're talking about. This is like the PCR test. In fact, they benched it against the PCR. But they're trying to make it so you wear a mask, and now you're going to have the mask detector go off so you can be picked up by some who knows what all entity to then be indefinitely detained, right, folks? So keep quiet. Keep them. Let them come at you reflexively. Let them keep after you. Thank you for whatever you do for syndication. R.I.P. Grimner. Thoughts with you. I hope you saw all we went through last week. And on to you, rest of eternity. I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs or Nature Will.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.